500 years ago today, the Magellan expedition first caught sight of the Philippines. So this is a historic day, the day of the first, the arrival of the first Christians to the archipelago. Now, you might say that was not so momentous a thing because they didn't even land on the first day. They say it was March 17 before they landed somewhere in eastern Samar. I don't know the place, but in Samar is where the Magellan expedition first caught sight of the Philippines. We're celebrating 500 years of the Christian faith here, but when we look back 500 years, we see it started out as a very small thing. Just a sighting, then a landing. Then within a few weeks, the first Mass. March 31st, they say, the first Mass. And then a few weeks later, the first baptism, mid-April. But the baptism of one or of a few or of a couple of hundred is still just a trickle. So we can look at today's first reading in light of this historic moment. Today's first reading is the famous prophecy of the water flowing from the temple, which it's the water starts out as a mere trickle, insignificant, not even up to your ankles. Then the longer the water flows, the more there is. Knee deep, waist deep, and then finally a mighty river. The water is a symbol of grace, symbol of the power of God, the mercy of God, the action of God in history, which grace flows through history like a mighty river. But it starts out small. Applying it to Philippine history, we can see that, yes, in 500 years, we have benefited from a mighty river of grace, an extraordinary gift, a gift of God. And part of the grace is the gift of reception of the gift. Missionaries went to other countries in Southeast Asia, and they didn't welcome the faith. In fact, they killed the missionaries. But in the Philippines, the people, to a very large extent, welcomed the gift. They welcomed the river of grace. Waves of conversions in the 17th, 18th century. Whole peoples, whole language groups, tribes, islands, embraced the Catholic faith. It's phenomenal, certainly phenomenal, and it is something to celebrate, 500 years of this river. Perhaps even more phenomenal is that the river of grace now not only flows to the Philippines, but flows from the Philippines. A river of believers bringing the faith to all parts of the world. Almost every country has some Filipino Christians striving to live the Christian faith and make it present in those other places, the river of the overseas Filipinos, which is how it's supposed to work. You know, the theme of the 500th year is gifted to give, gifted to give. So we receive a river of grace, and then we give that river. We receive in abundance, we give in abundance. That's how it's supposed to work, and that's what we celebrate in this 500 years. In the prophecy, the river provides all sorts of blessings, life and clean water, fresh water, abundant fruit trees, verdant life, medicine, everything. Now, there are some people, there are always critics, you know, there are some people who are quick to point out that the 500 years are not all blessings. the water isn't all clean. Some of it's polluted. Some people are quick to point out the problems that came with the arrival of European civilization and Christian faith. And of course, that's also true. They were not perfect, and neither the givers nor the receivers were perfect. So it's 500 years of grace, but also 500 years of sin, of the effects of sin. Now, it's easy to criticize colonizers and the whole attitude of colonization. It's easy to criticize the mentality of cultures that dominate other cultures. We have to make critical evaluation, but we still celebrate the gift. Imagine where we would be if the gift of the faith were not brought here. Well, none of us would be here, first of all. We wouldn't be sitting in this chapel. We wouldn't be Christians. So, yes, there are 500 years of 500 years of grace and 500 years of struggle. But for those who are complaining that the Philippines has so many problems, and for those who are saying, what good is this 500 years if we're still in this condition? What's our answer? What do you say to people who complain that the Philippines, the only Christian nation in Southeast Asia, is also one of the worst off? The people look at the measures of prosperity, you know, the gross domestic product, for example, or the whatever standard of living measures, and they say, well, Philippines is falling behind all the time. Yes, corruption, poverty, division, drugs, human trafficking, breakdown of families, and all sorts of things we can point at. But simply complaining about problems is not the solution. Look at today's gospel. Today's gospel is about a sick man. And he's sitting there near the supposedly healing waters, sick for 38 years. That man represents each of us. And you could say he also represents the Philippines. Jesus comes and asks the man, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? The man does not say, yes, Lord, I want to be well. He doesn't say, Lord, heal me, bless me, have mercy on me, or anything like that. He just keeps complaining. Now, this is easy. It's easy to see why. I mean, 38 years, plenty of time to come up with complaints and resentment and self-pity. Well, this is what we tend to do when we focus on ourselves. Yeah, we have lots of things to complain about. But is that the right answer to the question? Do you want to be well? No. If you look at this, if you look at some of the ancient commentaries on this profound gospel, you'll see lots of symbolic interpretation of the symbols here. For example, St. Augustine points out that the five porticos can be interpreted as the five books of Moses, those five books of the law. And he says, people are turning to the five porticos to be healed, but they don't have the power to heal. People turning to the law does not have the power to take away sin. It only exposes sin. The one who has power to take away sin is Jesus, and he's standing right there. He says another way to interpret the five porticos is the five senses. You know, the fathers of the church are very creative in their interpretation. The five senses, meaning our natural abilities. You see, if we rely on our natural capabilities, what we can see, what we can hear, what we can taste and touch and feel, if we rely on our natural abilities, we cannot overcome sin. We remain sick. We don't have the power. The one who has the power to heal is supernatural. Again, this is Jesus. Jesus comes not simply to stir up the waters and heal one person. He comes to bring a flood of grace and mercy for all, a river of grace. The man doesn't know it. The man doesn't recognize it. So Jesus cures him anyway. This is the surprising thing. In most healing stories, the person petitions, Lord, have mercy. Lord, heal my daughter, or Lord, heal my servant, or whatever. Drive out the demon from my son, or whatever the request is. No request made here. Jesus cures the man anyway. But physical cure is not a river of grace. It's a trickle. It's a sign. I think it's important for us to keep distinguishing between physical healings and spiritual healings, because the world nowadays is preoccupied with the pandemic and saying, oh, let's have the end of the pandemic. Let's get this cure. Yes, of course we pray for healing, and we should. We pray every day. We pray with our hearts for healing, an end of the pandemic. But that's not going to solve all our problems. That's just a trickle. Do we want to be well? We say, oh yeah, we want to be well. We want to be free of coronavirus. That's not the worst thing that ever happened to the world. The worst thing that can happen to us is to be cut off from God, to risk the loss of eternal life. That's the worst thing, by far worse. And the clue here is what Jesus says to the man later. Remember, the man's healed now. He's walking all around, saying that he was cured. He's carrying his mat around, engaging with the officials there in the temple area. And they ask him, who is it? He says, I don't know who it is. So all he has is a physical healing. Jesus comes to him later and says, look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you. He's instructing him that there's something worse than being crippled for 38 years, much worse. And that is what sin does to us. Physical illnesses are a cost. Physical healings are a blessing. But spiritual illnesses are much worse. And therefore, the spiritual healing is a much greater blessing. The river is not simply a river of a physical healing. In fact, Jesus only healed one man. There were many people there. What about all the other people? Ill, blind, lame, crippled. Five porticos full of sick people. He cures one of them. Because he didn't come there to be a healer. He came to flood them with mercy so that nothing worse would happen to them. So the key is, do not sin anymore. The key is, do not sin anymore, and turn to Jesus, the source of healing, the source of the abundant river of grace. As we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the arrival of this gift, which started as a trickle but now is a great river, let's not lose sight of what the gift really is. The gift we have received, the gift we are to give, is, yes, charity, and yes, dealing with our social and economic and physical problems, yes, but much, much more, eternal life. Eternal life by the mercy of God. This is what we celebrate in the liturgy, and this is the gift that we have to share with the world.